This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Hour number 4 of Men and Woods. This show has flown by this morning, considering we had Matt Strom on from the Padres out there in Peoria with Woodsy and Paul. Trevor Hoffman joins us really early in the show. In fact, if you missed that, we're going to bring it back coming up at 8:35 because Trevor was just fantastic.
Did you see what he did after, Ben?
I did not see what he did. Oh, did he FaceTime with Bo?
Yeah, so,
I saw that. Okay, yes.
Well, so every day... Every day since I've been gone, Hannah will FaceTime me when Bo gets up. And pretty funny story around our house. I have 2 bobbleheads in my home. I've got a Mickey Mantle bobblehead that someone gave me, and I've got a Trevor Hoffman bobblehead. And, you know, my kid's almost 2 years old, and he loves bobbleheads. And he was Hoffy. I tell you, hey, this is Hoffy. He would carry it around. He would sit with it in his car seat and just bring it everywhere. Well, he broke it. He broke Hoffy, and he was very upset by that. And so they FaceTimed me while Hoffy was in here, and I turned the volume down. I said, hang on 1 second. So he gets done playing Real or Fake and grabs the phone and FaceTimes with my son, because that's the kind of guy that Trevor Hoffman is. And Bo was just staring at him looking like, oh my God, that's the real Hoffy from my bobblehead. And then he gave him a hi, Hoffy, and it was like the greatest thing ever. What a great baseball player, but what a great human being Trevor Hoffman is.
But now Bo is expecting to get to FaceTime with, like, Baby Yoda next.
Yes, so now that would
his be... His expectations are high.
If I could pull that off, I'd be the dad of the decade for sure.
So I mentioned I had a little breaking news for the Aztecs, and I'll admit I don't know exactly how this mathematical formula works, but Baylor is the number one team in the country. And they were also the number one team in the NET, the NCAA evaluation tool ranking, until this morning when they come out with these daily updates. And somehow San Diego State, who was 2 in the country, is back to number 1
nice. In
the NCAA NET rankings again this morning with their 20-0 record as they get ready to face UNLV on Sunday. The best I can guess here, Woods, is that last night in Big Ten play, 19th-ranked Iowa beat 24th-ranked Rutgers 85-80, and that win over another ranked team, a team the Aztecs beat earlier this season in that tournament in Las Vegas, Iowa, may have helped their metrics somehow and pushed them past Baylor back to number 1, at least temporarily for the day. San Diego State back to number 1, and that's the most important criteria they use when determining seedings in the NCAA tournament. So don't knock that just because we don't totally understand how it works. When they get in that committee, everyone's going to get a big list of that net ranking. And on the top of that list, if San Diego State can stay there, they'll have their name right up there. It's going to make it very hard to ignore them in those meetings.
Yeah, and essentially what it means to break that down is they're on a collision course for a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. If they could just keep doing what they're doing, which by the, you know, talk about something that our city desperately needs. Aztecs fans, San Diegans, we need that. We need that. We deserve that, and we need that, and that will be a really, really fun time for us professionally, personally, and it's just great for the city, man, and great for that university.
Along we're talking a little Aztecs news, did you see where Zach Arnett, the former defensive coordinator for Rocky Long, who left San Diego State like just over a week ago and took the job at Syracuse, has left the job at Syracuse
what?
And is now the defensive coordinator for Mike Leach at Mississippi State. So
you are kidding.
Yeah, he did a double job hop and has ended up in the SEC. I don't know what it means other than that Syracuse defensive coordinator job that Rocky Long supposedly had gone to interview for while he was still the head coach of the Aztecs is now open again. I'm not saying that, you know, Rocky is still interested or was ever interested, but it's something to at least keep an eye on as Brady Hoke's trying to fill his defensive coordinator spot. He's offered it to Rocky. Rocky is also pondering an offer from New Mexico, and his former assistant Danny Gonzalez is the coach in New Mexico, and now Syracuse could be possibly back in the mix as well for a job for Rocky Long today.
Freaking Zach Arnett, man. I mean, look, I get it. I totally get it. I understand. I understand the move, but it's not a good look. You know, it's just not. It's not a good look. It's a real.
Well, you've got to figure though that an SEC school with just hired Mike Leach. Going to pay quite a bit more than Syracuse.
Well, that and the fact that you're going to the SEC, you know? I mean, it's clearly a better opportunity, clearly. And working with Mike Leach is in and of itself probably a pretty fun thing to do and definitely a life experience. But, a week later, that always kind of trips me out when that happens. And I get it. I mean, you know, the guy's got to do what he thinks is best. And I don't think any of us can deny being the D.C. at Mississippi State is a much better gig than being the D.C. at Syracuse.
It is. And this has Rocky's fingerprints all over it because Rocky and Mike Leach go way back. They've been friends for a long time.
Why didn't
they were assistants together? Well, Mike Leach didn't have the job.
He didn't have the job.
Yeah, he was just hired at Mississippi State. So, then he was starting to look around and Rocky said, well, I mean.
Call Zach.
That would be like one of the most awkward things in life, though, if you accept a job.
Oh,
obviously, anytime you go to a new job, you know how it feels.
Yes.
You walk into a building and you're really excited and you're meeting everyone. And you say, oh, I'm so excited to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity. I can't wait to get started. This is going to be so fun.
Get my hands dirty.
Yeah. To have to go 1 week later and say, hi, I'm quitting. I've got a better offer.
I think I would have just written an email then. I'm not a bit, you know, as much as I like to pretend that I do, I don't like confrontations of that nature. That is one I'd be like, I would have done the midnight move. Just the email, hey, thought about it, got another opportunity, I'm out. And then change my email address and block the number.
Yeah, you're going to feel bad about that one for a while.
Did that to a few ladies in college.
And then one other Mountain West note. So apparently Boise State has filed a lawsuit against the Mountain West Conference. It can never be a good thing when one of your schools is suing its own conference. They're mad about this new TV deal because the Mountain West is trying to end the agreement that they had with Boise State where Boise was going to get extra TV money and get to sell their own home games to ESPN as a deal to stay in the Mountain West or come back to the Mountain West. I never understood. I get that Boise State had a little more clout based on their, you know, their resume and what they had done as a college football team. But in by most metrics, I would think San Diego State is the premier member of the Mountain West Conference, not Boise State. And for San Diego State to be financially behind Boise State every year, because they get an extra like $2 million that schools don't get, including San Diego State. Ultimately here to me, Woods, the solution is the same solution it's always been. Boise State and San Diego State need to get together and they need to go in as a pair to a Power 5 conference at some point, whether it's the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Someone needs to take a look at these two schools and say, hey, there's expansion coming. Let's get out in front of it and get the two best schools that are not in the Power 5 right now. And to me, you look across the country, there's not a lot of options better than San Diego State and Boise State, top to bottom, football, basketball, and every other program that could compete right away, attractive markets, good brands across the country. I'm surprised that we're not hearing whispers already about something like this happening because clearly Boise State's not all that happy with the Mountain West if they're suing them. And while San Diego State has always played good soldier in the Mountain West, they can't be happy with the TV deals and the lack of money compared to the Power 5 schools either.
I just need to blow the whole conference up, man, really. It's just it's bad to worse, it seems, every year. And just I love the realignment talk in college football. And it's just something I think that needs to happen. And wherever they go, it's got to be more financially viable. You got to be able to be seen on television. With what we're able to do now, Ben, in the world we live in, it's not like there's just three channels to choose from. There's got to be a better, more viable option for schools like Boise State and schools like San Diego State, more importantly.
And then just a football note, I saw that some members of the media, you know, including some people that I know, like Eric Williams from ESPN, who used to cover the Chargers down here in San Diego, were given a tour of the new SoFi Stadium yesterday. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures that were on the internet. Apparently, it's about 85% complete now. They're putting finally up the it's not a dome, but it's that that canopy, like clear glass or plastic, whatever it is, roofing that goes on top of it. And they also have the scoreboard. The big circular scoreboard is sitting down on the field. It's going to be raised up in a couple of months to go into final position. And they say everything is on track. It's supposed to open this summer with a Taylor Swift concert, I believe, in July.
I think Paul will be there, actually.
The first event scheduled. Really, Paul?
Embarrassingly enough.
Not embarrassingly enough.
Right.
It was the second best Christmas present that I got for my fiance Megan.
That's an expensive Christmas.
Yeah. I bought the concert tickets before I bought the ring.
The ring, yeah.
And,
The first, so you'll, it's the first, she's playing two shows,
she's playing two shows, we're going to the second show.
Oh,
but the first,
man.
First event.
First event, yeah.
Maybe work out the kinks? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, but, maybe there'll be kinks night one that they fix on night two. Maybe night two is actually the better night to go.
I don't know, but, yeah.
I like that reason.
Maybe the kinks will open tickets for Taylor Swift.
Really?
What, what's their song? Lola? The Kinks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
One bit of news that came out of that that tour, though, of SoFi Stadium is the Rams seem to be trying to play nice with the Chargers, even though there's been lots of reports of kind of bad blood between Stan Kroenke and Dean Spanos and the Chargers.
Maybe Taylor Swift will play bad blood.
Aren't very good, Woods.
Yeah,
see,
thank
very
you
good.
Very much. Look at me.
Kevin Demoff, the bigwig executive of the Rams, was quoted, said, "I think for us and the Chargers, it's working together for the common good in the NFL. This market is big enough for two teams in every sport. It's certainly big enough for two teams in the NFL. I think this year will help us work better together because we're in the same stadium, learning, sharing, understanding how we can both use that knowledge to get better and make it better for our fans so that it's full every week."
That's going to be the most interesting storyline in the NFL next year. It just is, and I know it will be for us, but you expect game one for the Chargers to be full, right? I mean, don't we expect
the
it
first
to be
game?
Full?
Oh, well, yeah. I would think so, because everyone who couldn't get tickets to the Rams' first game will say,
yes,
"Well, we'll go to the Chargers."
We'll go to the Chargers game
first game.
But I really, really am curious to see how it plays out over the next season, especially with, you know, the Chargers really having a crap season this year, potentially losing Phillip Rivers, having a new quarterback, whoever that may be. The storyline of that stadium is it's just going to get bigger and bigger.
It'll be interesting. I think the schedule comes out in April, usually gets finalized. I'd love to know who the Chargers' first home opponent is.
Yeah, it'd be great. What if it's like some team that travels like crazy? Because you know it's going to be mostly opposing. Yeah, mostly opposing fans.
By the way, the Raiders are officially—they renamed their entire organization the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. I didn't know if that needed to be like a news item. I think we all kind of assumed that that was the case, but they did make it official yesterday with like a name-changing ceremony of some sort.
Yeah, they did. And you know, I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about it yesterday. It is weird. I mean, you can't deny it. It does sound weird. The Las Vegas Raiders, and maybe it should have been the Chargers that went to Las Vegas, Ben. You know, I saw that kicked around yesterday, too, because the tradition, not that there wasn't massive tradition in San Diego, but it just seemed like, you know, the Chargers owner wanted so badly to be in L.A., but maybe Vegas would have been the better option for them instead of
I wonder if you just, if everything was equal, but you replaced the Raiders with the Chargers in Vegas. Raiders have already sold out all their PSLs. I wonder if the same level of excitement would have been generated for the Chargers, because the Raiders they're killing it right now in Vegas. There's no doubt about it. I mean, talk about moves, night and day. The Raiders' move is going as smoothly as possible. The Chargers' move has gone as poorly as any move in the history of professional sports from a team that's relocated. So
yeah,
it is kind of an interesting hypothetical scenario, what would have happened if it had been the Raiders in L.A. and the Chargers in Las Vegas. Woodsy, when we come back, I want to get a little more baseball talk in. I don't know if you saw that they're going to be testing the waters of the electronic strike zone this year in spring training.
Spring training. We'll see it.
That's going to be something to keep an eye on. So we'll get a little bit into that coming up next. Make sure you check out the all-new Radio.com Rewind feature on our app. It allows you to pause or rewind live radio or go back 24 hours, listen to all of our local talk shows. Just download the Radio.com app today. It is Ben and Woods continuing on until 9 o'clock. Jim Rome will take over at that point. Woods and Paul out in Peoria as they will continue their fantasy camp experience later today. You guys got a doubleheader scheduled?
Yeah, we do. We got a doubleheader. We'll play one as soon as we get off the air.
First one. We were supposed to have one yesterday.
Yeah. We'll go to lunch, and then we'll go back and play one more this afternoon, which is just – I'm so looking forward to it. 14 innings of baseball is like heaven for me.
You guys are going to be wiped out.
Not me.
Tomorrow,
I'll be ready.
They're doing something different this year. Tomorrow, the championship game. So we have three teams, so the two top teams will advance to the championship, and then we'll draft players from the third-place team. They're letting us play at the big stadium.
Yeah, we get to play a stadium game.
Nice.
Which is going to be awesome.
Which will be insane.
I'm pretty sure we've already clinched a spot, but if we win one of two today, we certainly
we'll be in there.
So how does the umpiring work for these games?
Dude, we've got minor league umpires.
Oh, you got also real minor league umpires.
Yeah, we got real umps. I was getting squeezed like crazy the other day, and the guy walked up to me yesterday. He was behind the plate the day before, and he goes, "Hey." He goes, you had some really nice movement on your pitches. He goes, I haven't seen a pitch in like 4 months, so that's why I was terrible. And I was like, dude, you're fine. Sorry. And I was getting mad because I was getting squeezed.
I got punched out.
At fantasy camp.
I have video. I got punched out of a catcher reaching into the other batter's box to grab the ball,
yes.
So I didn't swing at it, and I got punched. And, you know, it was a bad call when the umpire, you turn around, you kind of look at him as you're walking back, and he goes, they told me to try to move the games along.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that would have been nice to know. Thanks.
Yeah, get up there and hack, man. You know, I've had two walks, and it's making me crazy. I just want to swing.
So they're not experimenting with the electronic strike zone with you guys yet.
But it looks like
they are going to do it. There were some conflicting reports out yesterday. The first one that came out made it sound like they're going to be using the electronic strike zone like in games – all over spring training. And then it came out later that the Umpires Association said, hold on, we're going to be doing like a trial basis. They're going to put it in for some games as like a backup. Like it's going to be working in the background. The umpires are still going to call the game as normal behind the plate, and they're going to kind of match it up and see how the electronic strike zone did compared to what the umpires were calling. And if it seemed like it was effective and accurate enough that maybe they can step it up at some point and, you know, implement it on the major league level. So it's not, we're not going to actually have like the beep and the umpire calling a strike or a ball, but they are going to have it set up for at least some of the games, I think, in the Grapefruit League in Florida.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, Ben. I'm going to keep an open mind on it. Technology obviously been a sore subject this offseason, the use of technology, the illegal use of technology. But, you know, our beloved Jesse Agler made a really good point yesterday on Twitter. He tweeted out the story, and somebody says, I'm not a get-off-my-lawn guy. Technology was just comprised to cheat. What's saying these bots can't get hacked? And Jesse said, well, like all technology, that's a fair and legitimate concern. But to me, not a reason to not do it. I still use a computer, iPhone, et cetera. Even with that risk, you have to mitigate and be smart. And I like that. I like that measured take by Jesse Agler, which shouldn't surprise anyone, that usually his takes are measured. I'm going to keep an open mind about it because I want the game to be better. I want to see more action in baseball. I want to see guys up there hacking, and I want to see accuracy. Not at the expense of all of the human element, but I do feel that it could be beneficial. You know, maybe as a helper. I don't know how they're going to integrate it. I don't know how they're going to switch it from player to player. Obviously, Aaron Judge's strike zone is different than Jose Altuve's.
I do think that, anything can be hacked. In terms of a strike zone, I don't see how – I mean, it'll be obvious. It's not like you can't see the pitches. If a ball doesn't come close to the strike zone and it's called a strike, It's not like the umpire won't be there and go, hey, something's wrong, we need to turn off the system. They should have those fail safes in place where if something is clearly not going well, they just turn it off. And they've got the umpire, and you can always go back to that. But I think it is worth, as you said, it's worth the chance to see if you can make the game a little bit better and remove what is a very difficult job for umpires to begin with. Balls that are moving, you know, at 98 miles an hour, and you're trying to determine whether they brushed across a geometric shape that's on the ground somewhere, hovering over it in a box, a theoretical three-dimensional box, and whether it touches it. That's not an easy thing to do for umpires. And if I was an umpire, I'd almost be glad to have that job taken out of my hands at some point.
Yeah, I mean, and you do wonder, though. I mean, it's obviously everyone saw this story yesterday, and the first person you think of is Austin Hedges, who has made a living framing pitches, the best in the business at it. And you just wonder how that's going to affect. We asked Matt Strom, hey, man, how is the new rule with, you know, three batter minimum? And he just shakes his head and says, you know, I'm just going to go out there and get outs. Whatever I have to do, I'm just going to go out and get outs. But you wonder, a guy like Austin Hedges, does that take away from a huge, huge strength in his game, Ben?
Well, of course it does.
Massive.
It's not. This isn't one of those subjective
art.
See how it affects the art of pitch framing. The instant they go to an electronic strike zone,
it eliminates
framing. Is completely irrelevant. You could catch it as badly as any ball. You could have it drop it, let it run to the backstop. If it crosses the plate, it'll be a strike. And you can, you know, have the most smooth, you know, pull back into the edge of the strike zone that would have fooled every umpire in baseball. You're not going to fool a camera-based electronic strike zone. It makes pitch framing from fairly important, at least from most experts who study this sort of thing, to completely irrelevant if they
ever
do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and really, like, does that? I feel like that changes the catching position immensely, right?
All you need
is somebody that is, you know, a good a guy that can receive the ball well. You really don't even just catch it at this point. Blocking will be more important. Things like that. You know, arm strength, pop time, all that stuff behind the dish will still be looked at. But that framing metric, it will just go by the wayside.
It'll change prospect rankings. I mean, guys, you know, who were thought of, oh, this guy's an incredible catching prospect because he's a great framer, will say, well, you know, his bat's not that great, and now framing's not that important. He'll drop in the rankings. And the guy who's maybe a mediocre guy behind the plate but hits, he's going to say, well, you know what, he's good enough for the electronic strike zone.
Yeah.
Let's get his bat in the lineup. It'll change a lot of things if they ever do go full-time to that electronic strike zone.
Which, you know, if you had asked me 5 years ago, is that ever going to happen? I'm going to say no chance. No chance they're going to take the umpire's, eye out of the game. And now you look at it and you're like, I mean, how hard is it to watch a football game now? I mean, honestly, it's getting harder and harder to watch a football game with the missed calls, I say mostly missed calls. It just seems like there could be a review on every single play. And I just, there's also that part of me that's like, man, get it right. You know, get it right. Make sure a strike's a strike and a ball's a ball. But it's gonna change the game dramatically.
When we come back, we're going to bring back our Trevor Hoffman conversation from earlier if you missed it. So fun sitting down with the Hall of Famer. But I also want to call out Nolan Arenado. Not a big fan of what the Rocky third baseman's pulling this week. So we'll get to that coming up next. It's Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben Woods, final segment as we lead into the Jim Rome Show today on 97.3 The Fan. It has been a fantastic morning on Ben and Woods. I've really enjoyed this one a ton, Woodsy.
Me too, man. I loved having Trevor, obviously, and I loved Matt Strom's interview today. One of my favorites we've done.
Yeah, we're going to bring you back some of that Trevor Hoffman interview in just a second. I mentioned Nolan Arenado. I don't know why this bothered me so much yesterday. But Nolan Arenado, who earlier this week, of course, was the subject of trade rumors, and as he's been all offseason, but they kind of got more media attention, I think, earlier this week. And then he kind of shot back at the Rockies front office and said that he feels disrespected by some things that he doesn't want to reveal, but basically things behind the scenes that have gone on that he doesn't like, and it's made him feel not appreciated or respected inside that Rockies organization. Well, yesterday, Nolan Arenado comes out and says, can we just focus on baseball, everybody? I'm tired of these distractions. I want to, we're about to get to spring training. I want to get to work. Well, Nolan, you were the one who created by far the biggest distraction. Trade talks, they happen with everyone. That's part of baseball. That's not a distraction. Your team is allowed to at least discuss and should be discussing with other teams what your value is and what people might, send for you in a deal. They have to explore that. You, by coming out and saying that you feel disrespected by your own organization, that's news. That's going to get people's attention. The media is they're going to want follow-up questions. They're not going to simply drop that and say, oh, I wonder what that was. Well, who cares? They're going to want to dig in and figure out what it was that the Rockies did that it got you so upset. So now to say, oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I just want to focus on baseball. You can't do that, man.
He did say, in his defense, he did say it was out of character. I spoke out of character for me. And as someone, Ben, I can't relate. I've never popped off online or in person. So I really can't relate to what he's saying at all.
Once the bomb has gone off,
it's hard to undo.
You can't undo that. You can't go back and
put the toothpaste back in the
tube. I love that expression.
It's one of my favorites.
That is, it's such a great expression.
You can't do it. As much as you'd like to,
I have never really wanted to even do that.
Nor have I, but the damage has already been done.
I feel like you could. It just wouldn't be very easy.
It would be impossible. How the F are you going to get the tooth? Take a thing of Crest, squeeze it out on your sink, then put any amount of toothpaste back into that tube. It would be impossible.
Smush it in.
If you had like a funnel, like a small funnel, and you just like jammed it down and pushed it down.
No, because it's thick. It's viscous. It's not going to it's not going to pour back into the hole.
Well, guys, I want to get back. Our Trevor Hoffman conversation was probably better than the toothpaste back in the tube conversation. So let's rewind it back, radio.com app style. And go back to our 6 o'clock hour when Trevor Hoffman joined you in the holding cell there at the Peoria Sports Complex. Ben and Woods with the Padres and Baseball Hall of Famer, Trevor Hoffman. It's kind of nice when you don't have to pick intro music for someone. People come with their own. Let's go out to the SDCCU fan hotline, and let's go back out to the Peoria Sports Complex. We're joining Woodsy and Paul out there is Baseball Hall of Famer and Padres legend Trevor Hoffman. Trevor, good morning to you, and welcome back to Ben and Woods.
Good morning to you too, Benny. That gives me chills every time I hear it.
Every time.
I know a lot of people out there outside of San Diego think it's 3rd and 8 with their NFL football team, but for us, it's still pretty cool.
Man, so how have things been going with you? It's second year of fantasy camp. What's it looking like out there? I don't know how long you've been out there and what you've been able to see so far, but your impressions of year two of Padres fantasy camp.
Well, Woodsy's dominating. That's the beautiful thing. But the numbers have doubled. I think the whole idea of fantasy camp has gotten out. We've got great participation. They're taking it very serious. We're trying to save some arms. But, at the end of the day, everyone, I think, is having a really good time. The brown uniforms look great on everybody. And so, I think everybody's having a great time.
Benny, I walked in this morning. I mean, the clubhouse opens at about 6, and it's damn near full. I mean, guys are like...
And not just in the training room.
And not just in the training room. They're in there. They're sitting there, and they're looking at their locker, and they're getting their stuff ready. And you're like, dude, you don't have to be here like 7:30. But everyone, they want to be here. Being at the locker, we all walked in this morning. There's a signed batting helmet from all, Hoffy and everybody else. And it's just the stuff that you get, the daily surprises. You never know who's going to show up. And like I said yesterday, we're in the middle of our game. We knew Hoffy was coming. We didn't know when. He walks out into the field, and everyone stops, and you're like, oh, wow, that's Hoffy. And I told you, man, they hit a ball at me, and I'm like, don't boot it, don't boot it, don't boot it, don't boot it, because Hoffy's there, and it's wild. But thanks for joining us this morning. I know you, all of us, we got a real busy day here at Fantasy Camp, but I wanted to ask you, Trevor, it's been a weird offseason for the game that we all love so much. I feel like baseball's that sport where you know, they'll say, hey, you know, all news is good news. All publicity is good publicity. I don't feel that way about baseball. I feel like baseball has a little bit of a higher standard. And this offseason's been pretty nuts with the Astros stuff. I just wanted to get kind of your overall, when you heard about it, what did you think? When you saw the videos, what were you, were you blown away like the rest of, were you like, oh my God, it was right there in front of us?
I don't know if it was like right there in front of us to an extent, but I was definitely blown away that the use of technology in that regard went so far.
Yeah.
You know, I think the things that we've learned on how to decode someone's, you know, signs as a catcher, and if you're at second base, you kind of pick up on that and you can utilize it. That's within the realm of the game.
Sure.
You know, if you're not smart enough to have a different set of signs and a team picks it up, then great. But
since you were in Little League,
since you're in Little League, that's
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to use technology and use it in real time and to give a guy a complete advantage to know what's coming is egregious.
You know, it's funny, Trevor, when this came out, I thought of you because, I mean, it affects any pitcher if the batter knows what's coming. But I specifically thought about you and how important deception was and yep. that uncertainty that the batter had in his head, whether it's fastball or changeup, and how that would have been just almost devastating for you to face a team that, oh, I know the changeup's coming. I'm not swinging at this one.
How mad would you have been?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I went through a bit of a phase mid-career where I got a little bit weird with the way I went in and grabbed my changeup, and it would wiggle a string on my glove a little bit funny, and I was tipping my pitches for about a month, and I was racking my brain. I'm going, what in the heck is going on? How do they know what's coming? And, it, you know, through video, I was able to find out that I was tipping pitches. And we took care of it, turned the glove a little bit, did a little bit of, like, the Ryan Dempster shake. And
yeah.
Boom, it was done. And they don't know what's coming.
From a friggin' string wiggling on his glove, Ben, the other team. And that's the thing is, like, that you tip your hat to.
No doubt.
You tip, and you're like, I'm getting rocked. And my arm feels good. Yeah. I feel good. My pitches are moving. What is happening? And that's perfectly okay. If yep. they find that out, that's on me.
Yep.
But if they got a camera over my shoulder and they're having algorithms to tell people what's coming and they're banging on trash cans, that had to be a tough pill for a lot of these kids to swallow. And you talk about the kids that got sent down after getting roughed up by the Astros. They may never recover. They may never come back up, and they miss their shot. And that to me, is the travesty.
You might not be a Dodger fan, but they had a shot at possibly two world championships.
Sure.
And you know, I'm great friends with Doc Roberts, and you know that's going to hurt for a long
time. That's
going
to hurt,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's not to say that's part of the game, but we went through the PEDs,
yep.
and you know that whole shadow over the game for that. Now it's the technology that needs to be, you know, taken care of. You know, we have the ability to probably put earpieces in the catcher and the pitcher's ear so that there's no signs being given, and you know it's going to make it harder for, you know, we see it with the catcher and the offensive coordinator in football games. So it's things can be done.
Talking to Padres Hall of Famer and Baseball Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman live at the Peoria Sports Complex. And, Trevor, I know you've worked with many of these young Padres over the years, spring training. You made trips out to the minor league ballparks. A new baseball top 100, Baseball America top 100, came out yesterday. Mackenzie Gore, number 6. Luis Patino, number 18. We're going to see them in the big league camp for the first time this spring. How excited are you for these guys, and what's your kind of latest scouting report based on where they ended last season?
That's funny. We had dinner at a pizza place across the street, and that's the same place I had dinner when Mackenzie just signed. So it brought back a lot of great memories about a young man that really carries himself really well, is passionate about getting better and pushing himself to the limits, and certainly looking forward to a guy like that coming up and having an impact. And Patino right on his heels. I love the 1-2 combination that they can really kind of push each other and compete with one another and within a season and a game. And they're going to have an impact. It might not be out of spring training, but they're going to certainly have an impact with this team. And I'm looking forward to the strides that the you know, the guys from last year, the Richards, the Lametz, the Paddocks, those guys taking another step forward out away from surgery, another step forward and learning the game in the big leagues. And they're only going to get better.
How much time did you spend with Chris Paddock last year? He was a guy that we were all looking forward to, and he delivered. You know, he really did. When you look at the sum of the parts at the end of the year, you look at that and you're like, he could be an ace. He could be an ace on this team. He could be an ace on a lot of teams. Did you get to spend a lot of time? Did he bend your ear much last year?
A good amount of time. Yeah. And, you know, it was bend the ear in a good way. You know,
yeah.
Want to ask the right questions at the right time. We sat down quite a bit in spring training and, you know, talked to him about what to expect. Hey, you're going to run into a wall and you're going to have to make adjustments on the fly. And you're going to have to change a little bit of your repertoire, but don't go away from trusting your stuff. And, you know, he had just great questions about what to expect in the big leagues. And he didn't know if he was breaking camp or not, but he wanted to, you know, figure some things out before he got there. And, you know, he took the city by storm. He's got a little bit of pizzazz about him, and he's not going to back down from anybody. You know, he gets in trouble. I love go sit in the truck when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing is what he's about, the cowboy hat, the persona. You know, I hope he has just another amazing year.
Whose hair is longer, yours or Paddock's?
Paddock's got him, I think.
Yeah, Paddock's is a little bit longer than mine. I had to cut mine back a click.
That's got a directive from Mrs. Hoffman, Mrs. I would imagine.
Said, hey, you know, trim that thing up a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, Trevor, we're obviously joined by Trevor Hoffman, a Hall of Famer here on Bed of Woods this morning. And, Hoffy, when you look at the offseason, it started kind of with a bang and a lot of moves, a kind of a flurry of moves. It's quieted down. It's quieted down, I think, for a lot of teams right now. But when you look at some of the additions, guys are going to be coming to camp, the Tommy Pham's, that's the one for me. I'm elated. I can't wait to see this guy. He brings an attitude. Jace Tingler is another guy. And I know you've had a chance to spend some time with him. We have as well. He brings an attitude, and I feel just personally, and I don't spend a ton of time around the team, but just watching the team 162 games, there was a little bit of attitude missing, I think. And so after you sat down with Jace, what are you expecting out of him leading this team?
And not to bring up the topic, but could you imagine being the Astros and Red Sox without a manager right now?
Right. So, it's a nightmare.
Because I remember sitting down with Jace when the uniform was unveiled, and it was through the interview process, one of the sessions. He's had a lot of time to get his feet wet, to get to go out and meet the guys, get a feel about the organization, the city. And so he is super. He was here yesterday.
Yeah,
in camp.
We saw him,
so
yeah.
It's a super exciting time for him to know that he's on the cusp of his dream job. And so that was probably the biggest addition we had to make is solidify who we were going to move forward with. And AJ's super comfortable with him. I think that was important. But, Tommy, I've heard a lot of the same things about the guy. And, you know, we had guys that had edges, too. You don't think Ken Caminiti had an edge or Greg Vaughn during the season and Finley in his own way. So, you know, when you have that in the clubhouse, it's not trying to be a jerk. It's just, hey, there's a certain way that they want to go and compete.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, teams aren't going to come in here or here in San Diego right. And say, it's just the lowly Padres. You know, you look at them and you're like, ooh, yeah, we better not, you know, you better not fall out of line. They're going to get in our grill, and Jace Tingler's going to get in people's grills, and he's got the red ass in him, and we needed that, I think. I think and I'm hoping that it all kind of comes together into one big, just kind of badass unit that aren't going to be pushed around, you know?
I'll be honest with you, the way that Fernando Tatis Jr. played last year, that was an eye-opener, and hey, these guys are playing with a little bit of an edge.
Yep.
And they're taking pride in the way they're going about their game. Chris, we talked about Paddock having
big
that
time.
Little attitude on the mound. And so, that was Jake Peavy for a long time. But these guys will come together, and they'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Trevor, expectations are always a tough thing in baseball. I mean, we've talked to Ron Fowler before and tried to figure out what his expectations are for the team. And you never really know until the guys get together. But fans are going to have expectations as well. Where do you kind of see this team heading into 2020? What's a fair amount of expectation to put on a squad that obviously has a lot of new pieces, but is supposed to be building and growing into something that's going to be a playoff and championship contender in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, it'd be easy to throw that number out there, you know, above 500 somewhere, and you never really know. And I'm not going to try and sit on the fence and avoid it because I don't think that's right, but it's feasible to have a 15-20 game difference and turnaround, and that puts you in the conversation of a wild card, and who knows about the division. But you have to get out of May, and you have to get rolling through April and May kind of thing, so that you know you're not trying to climb uphill and gain three or four games a month. You want to be on the winning side early, and then you kind of, that confidence can lead a team in a different direction that ultimately it wasn't going to go that way. So you don't really know until you come out of spring training how you're feeling about one another. The pieces are there to play better than we did last year, and you know, the expectations are always to win a championship, and that's bottom line. And sometimes it's gotten away from us, but I think there's enough personnel each and every year that we can do some things.
Yeah, I mean, we're the expectation thing. I know people, we just want to run. You know, people just want to run meaningful in August, September, October, make a move at the deadline and things like that. That will ignite San Diego's passion, already pretty hot passion for the Padres. But 2020, I feel like it's a big year. I feel like it's a really, really important year for the future of the team.
Extremely big year. And up to this point, I think you have to tip your cap. I mean, one of the biggest gripes about the situation was ownership not, you know, going out and getting us some personnel. And
yeah,
they've done everything to their extent to give us a roster and players that you're in the prime of their career and having a shot to be, you know, the leaders in Major League Baseball. And so I tip my hat to what we've done over the last 5, 6, 7 years on a lot of different fronts. And you know, I'm looking forward to some things coming together.
Trevor, the Baseball Hall of Fame election just announced. Derek Jeter obviously going into the Hall of Fame. But I wanted to ask you, you went in on your third ballot with 79.9% of the vote. I think we thought you would get there eventually. Larry Walker, a guy you faced many times in your career with the Rockies and the National League West, last time on the ballot, comes down to 6 votes. I mean, can you even imagine that kind of like that level of nerves and going in what he was facing this week?
Yeah, I couldn't. I can't even think about it. You know, 10 years of this, you know, that January disappointment, and just, you know, it's not that you never come to terms with it, but you know, two guys that were in my class, and Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, those guys went 15 years on the ballot and then had to wait for a veterans committee.
Ugh.
I mean, that's just, you know, agony going through that every January, and so super happy that it's over for him. I think he's a Hall of Famer, hands down. He was a 5-tool guy that changed the game when he played it. Was great in the clubhouse, great teammate. You know, not that I was his teammate, but I knew guys that did. I just loved the way he played the game, and he's a great addition, and it's a neat class with Jeet and Simmons.
Trevor, always great talking to you. We really appreciate it, and, of course, we'll see you back out at spring training. We'll be back out in a month, and then out at Petco Park. We're not that far away from opening day. It's crazy how quickly it comes.
I love it. It's going to be early this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Take care, man. Trevor Hoffman on our SDCCU fan hotline from the Peoria Sports Complex. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. And what was amazing, because that was from earlier today in our 6 o'clock hour, Trevor then stayed on and played our game of real or fake against our contestant. And I know, Hammer, you were on the phone line. You said that was your prize. You get to play against Trevor Hoffman today in Real or Fake.
Yeah, because if you think about it as a listener, I'd rather probably play Real or Fake against Trevor Hoffman than what? Win some SeaWorld tickets?
Thrill of a lifetime. I mean, I know Trevor, and I always get a little nervous talking to him on the radio. I can't imagine for just a listener like randomly calling up and not realizing I'm about to be talking to Trevor Hoffman and then playing a game against him on the radio.
Well, you could even hear it in his voice when you brought up like, hey, man, you're actually playing against Hoffman. The guy had no idea what to do. He was nervous. He started stuttering. I was like, ah, classic.
No, absolutely. I would have had nerves, too, just thrown into that situation. But really fun show today. Trevor, Matt Strom, Chris Mortensen from ESPN will try to live up to that again tomorrow on Friday as we wrap up the week. Couple of things coming up today in the world of sports. Obviously, the Farmers Insurance Open is teeing off right now at Torrey Pines. First groups off go off. Tiger, in about 45 minutes, will tee off on the North Course. Phil Mickelson's group will tee off at 10:40 on the South Course today. We'll have updates every hour, live updates here on 97.3 The Fan, so stay tuned all afternoon long. Reaction from the course as well. Rich Herrera is going to be out there with live reports. So we'll have leaderboards, everything for you today as we go on in the tournament. Basketball, Lakers will play again today, second of back-to-backs after they beat the Knicks last night 100-92. Always curious with Anthony Davis coming back after getting injured. LeBron James, is he going to play after playing last night and helping lead the Lakers past the Knicks? They play the Brooklyn Nets, so we'll see if load management comes into play for the Lakers in that one on a short NBA schedule on this one. But that is all the time we've got. Hammer, good job.
What a show today.
It was a great show today. Brian Cohen on the board has done a great job all week with out in Peoria with Woods, and they are off to fantasy camp right now. So hopefully they do well in their doubleheader. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. Right now, though, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is bike. Text bike to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fan's National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. From 97.3 The Fan, have a great one. Jim Rome up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.